You're listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Katie Frankwitz, and I'll soon be joined by my co-host, Skylar Butenshin. It's Wednesday, August 6th. Washington State's primaries last night show that the small city of Ilwaco in Pacific County might be ready for a new mayor. Challenger Eddie Hillard led over incumbent Mike Casinelli, with a significant margin as of Tuesday night. Hillard had more than 60% of the vote. The name of a third candidate was also on the ballot, though not in the running for mayor. Michael Mathis announced in July that he was suspending his campaign. It was too late to leave his name off the ballot. Mathis endorsed Hillard, as did another candidate who dropped out of the running earlier in the race, former city councilor Don Berger. Voters in Pacific County and Grays Harbor County also overwhelmingly approved the restoration of a levy for South Beach Regional Fire Authority Emergency Medical Services. This would return the levy for the services to a rate that was charged in the past, but is higher than what is currently assessed. In Wakayakum County, Drew Jenkins led over Justin Moriarty in the race for Wakayakum County Assessor. For Wakayakum County Sheriff, current Sheriff John Mason led over challenger Josh Grasseth with a significant majority. Mason had been appointed by the Wakayakum County Board of Commissioners to serve as sheriff following the retirement of then-Sheriff Mark Howie in 2024. That appointment is effective until the results of the November election are determined. I'm Katie Frankowitz, reporting for KMUN.
Last month, funding for three projects that would support key infrastructure in Pacific County were passed by the U.S. House Appropriations Committee, bringing them one step closer to ultimately receiving the congressionally directed funds. The project that carries the highest cost at $2.7 million is for much-needed dredging at the Port of Chinook. The funds would be used to remove 65,000 yards of material from the marina to ensure safe passage for vessels. A project for repairs at the City of Raymond's wastewater treatment plant was also approved. The 12-year-old facility has begun sinking into the ground. And a funding request was also passed that would provide roughly $1 million to Willapa Harbor Hospital to support the replacement of its medical clinic. Those three projects were a part of a total of 14 that Representative Marie Glusenkamp-Perez requested funding for as part of Congress's community project funding process for the 2026 fiscal year. The project's spending bills still must pass the whole House and Senate. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Chinook Observer, online at chinookobserver.com. A recent study from Portland State University analyzed federal spending patterns between 2010 and 2024 on more than 400 programs across the country that focused on energy, environment, and infrastructure. During that 14-year period, federal agencies sent about $2.2 trillion to state and local governments, tribes, nonprofits, private companies, and higher education institutions. Researchers found that the share of that money benefiting rural counties and economically distressed counties nationwide more than tripled in the last decade, and accelerated dramatically after former President Joe Biden issued an executive order creating the Justice 40 initiative. That initiative directed 40% of new federal climate and clean energy spending to underserved communities. The study found that in Oregon alone, investments in rural counties doubled between 2010 and 2024. Also, tribes in Oregon received 20 times the amount in 2024 that they received in 2010. In March, President Donald Trump terminated the Justice 40 initiative. And the current head of the Federal Environmental Protection Agency, Lee Zeldin, has canceled more than $1 billion in grants related to environmental justice. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Tillamook Headlight Herald, online at tillamookheadlightherald.com. One of the Northwest's most common animals has all but disappeared from much of the region. Citizen scientists gathered in a wildflower meadow in the Washington Cascades recently to help the western bumblebee keep buzzing through the air. KUOW's John Ryan reports.
Nearly a mile high in the Wenatchee Mountains, the fireweed and angelica are blooming, and the bumblebees are having a field day. Melissa Nunez chases one with a net on a long pole. She thrashes her net on top of a hot pink stalk of fireweed flowers like a lacrosse player making a shot.
Oh, I think I got him. No, I didn't.
Nunez is part of a group of volunteers learning how to collect and study rare bumblebees and release them unharmed.
Not easy.
Their instructor is endangered species biologist Molly Martin.
Don't give yourself a hard time if your first few get away or you can't get them in the net.
Martin works for the Xerces Society. It's a nonprofit group dedicated to saving invertebrates, some of the less beloved members of the animal kingdom. Xerces has to overcome many people's fears of creepy crawlies and their bias toward majestic wildlife like orcas or bears, sometimes known as charismatic megafauna.
Bumblebees are probably the entry drug to other insects. People can be grossed out by spiders or beetles or that kind of thing, but bumblebees, they're cute, they're fuzzy, charismatic mini fauna, not the charismatic megafauna.
Beyond their fuzzy charisma, bumblebees are economic powerhouses. By some estimates, wild insects pollinate more than $5 billion in crops annually in the United States, from soybeans to strawberries. Washington has about 30 species of bumblebees, with 8 of them, including the western bumblebee, in trouble, conservation-wise.
More than 25% of North American bumblebees are at risk of extinction. So 1 in 4, and western bumblebee is up there.
Bumblebee surveys, like the volunteers are learning to do, have helped biologists find the most critical places to keep the buzz alive. With their chunky, fuzzy bodies, bumblebees can pollinate flowers that other bees can't.
They do this thing called buzz pollination, where they vibrate a certain frequency to release pollen from certain plants, like huckleberries. So they're really key to some ecosystems.
By shaking each flower like a salt shaker, then carrying the fallen pollen to other flowers, they help plants make the fruits and seeds that other animals eat. Martin quickly nets a bumblebee, then transfers it from her net to a small vial.
She's really big.
The bee is agitated.
I'll go put this on ice.
She pops the vial in a cooler. Once the bee chills, it basically goes to sleep. Easy to examine up close, photograph, and not get stung.
Okay, maybe a dumb question.
Yeah.
Do bumblebees sting?
Female bumblebees do sting. You'll see when they're chilled, they can't sting, so you can actually hold them while they slowly warm up and fly away, and they won't sting you.
To help the bees, Melissa Nunez and her partner are replacing their lawn in Wenatchee with native plants.
We want to support the pollinators, and grass is kind of boring, and it's an underutilized space. We have our next-door neighbors who are doing the same thing, and hopefully we can set a trend.
Habitat loss is probably the biggest threat to America's bees. Pesticides and pathogens from imported bees are also problems. Volunteer Seth Christian is adding bee-friendly native plants to his farm in Manson.
When I first got started, I was really excited about honeybees, but I realized that those aren't native to North America, and all of our native pollinators are the ones that really need our support.
He says he'd like to stop using pesticides someday.
My goal is to not spray.
Federal action to regulate pesticides or help endangered species appears unlikely. The Fish and Wildlife Service agreed to consider listing the western bumblebee as an endangered species 9 years ago. A spokesperson says there's still no timeline for that decision. I'm John Ryan reporting.
For weather today in the lower Columbia River region, expect showers throughout the day with highs in the mid-60s. And tonight, more showers likely, otherwise mostly cloudy, with lows in the mid-50s.
You're listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday. And of course, you'll always find more of today's local and regional news at kmun.org/news. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.